Welcome everyone to episode 106 of the Analog Assault Podcast. This week we're talking about the future of gaming. Let's go!
You're listening to Analog Assault, a video game podcast by Mulehorn Gaming.
What's up, guys, and welcome to another episode. We got the whole crew together tonight.
Oh, boy.
How's it going, guys?
What up?
Oh, it's going. Oh, man. It's
y'all
going.
Are so excited to have me back. I mean, I can't tell you guys.
I mean, I had to pull out the alcohol just to deal with you.
I would drink to that.
So tonight we got Lupo to the rescue, Thaddeus Prime, Scarecrow, and Radical all with us. It's good to be back, guys, and I can't wait to talk some Pidgey games with you guys. But first, as always, housekeeping. If you like the podcast, you like the content, then head over to our Twitch page at twitch.tv/MulehornGaming. Smash that sub button to help support and keep the lights on there.
More down there.
Yeah, down there.
Down there.
So, guys, how's your week's been? What you been playing? What you been watching? What you been doing?
Week or weeks? I mean, we're talking 1 or 2 weeks here. Oh, you've been going, so it's weeks. I get it.
Yeah.
Not a whole lot of gaming recently, aside from grinding Avengers. Yes, I did pass that mule. He was not happy about that, as he expressed in Discord. There were words.
Yes.
I did upgrade to Xfinity Fiber. I'm not getting the 1 gig as advertised. There's a catch.
Yeah.
It's 1 gig at your house. It's not as much when it's inside your house, depending on how much your device can handle. But for the price that I'm getting and my speed being basically tripled, well worth it.
Nice.
Good.
A little bit of Cobra Kai action. And I started a little something this morning that we'll talk about.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
A little bit of space pew-pews.
Pew-pews. Yeah,
that's me.
Right on.
Yeah. I guess I'll go next. What have I not done? I actually cut it down. I've only played 2 games this week, but boy, have I been grinding on them a lot. So this week, this week episode 5 for PSO2 launched, which launched a whole new character class, and boy. Just to put it in perspective for like our Destiny fans, imagine them dropping a whole new race or a whole new class, like Hunter. Say they added like some weird other class other than the 3 we've got, a bunch of story, a bunch of new loot that's of the tiers that we have, and then adding, let's add 2 more tiers above exotic to that to grind
nice.
For.
Mm-hmm.
And. Yeah, that's been that. So it's been a little rough. Then also this week, launched Genshin Impact in the U.S. For those of you who don't know, Genshin Impact is a gacha game from I forget the name of the company. I don't know.
MiHoYo. A Pirate's Life for Me.
Yeah. But anyway.
Sorry, Debs.
Genshin Impact is kind of like a anime style RPG. It's a JRPG.
There are many waifus.
Yes, where you can play as different characters, which for those of you who don't know, also gacha games. I've never played gacha game before this. Basically what those are is for lack of better terms, loot crate games. Or like card pack games where you unlock characters and gear for them by unlocking like card packs or loot packs.
Nice.
If you get doubles, it helps the ones that you have upgrade. You can upgrade them further. There's not a whole lot to it yet, but they've got two like world zones, which are pretty damn massive, and there's going to be five more coming on later. So I think I'll play it, keep going at it. I haven't spent a single penny in it. I'm going to try and do this whole thing without spending a single dollar. And I've managed to get around five or six what they call wishes, is what their packs are called, a day. So, not too bad.
Very nice.
Doing that. Also, been keeping up with The Boys.
The Boys.
On Amazon Prime.
Oh, yeah.
And boy, was that. That last episode, the end of that last episode.
WTF.
Mm-hmm.
WTF, yeah.
I knew she was old, but boy. Then there was that layer on top of it.
She's a granny.
She ain't just a granny. Like,
I didn't realize what that was until it explained what that was.
Yeah.
That one appendage thing. Wow.
Oh,
that
was.
Lupo and I had the same thought.
Yes, that appendage on the one guy. Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's like,
all right.
What?
Mm-hmm. It was also kind of, I also kind of
that offended.
I was like, I was like,
found it funny that the character who plays Lamplighter is Iceman.
Iceman.
It's just the switch up. Just kind of found that funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Been doing that. I guess I'll just go over it real fast. And one of the reasons I'm really enjoying Genshin is they got really good writing. Pretty good for being such a
free game. Yeah.
Being a free game, essentially. Like, there's a bunch of little weird Easter eggs. One, you've got this little character that's like this little floating chick that follows you around. And I don't remember, I think Rad was the one that told me this, but someone she saw said that basically the character's name is Paimon. Basically, Paimon is like a cuter Destiny ghost. That's basically what she does. But then there's like lines where she made a comment. They made a comment in the game one time, like, they pulled the whole "with great power comes great responsibility." There's a quest line where you basically deal with Batman. And there's
this is an anime game, right?
Yeah. And then there's one character that if you just stand by them, all of a sudden they'll be like rebooting. Error. Like, this is not supposed to be an isekai, but is it?
See, you just spoke a foreign language to me. I have no idea what you just said.
That's the beauty of gaming.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what?
So who's next?
I was like, tell me more. Story time.
Yep.
I'll go next. So I guess like I really haven't played much of anything different. Like I played a bunch of Destiny. Thought I was gonna be able to finish a seal before the end of the season, and just don't think it's gonna pan out. So like I'm trying to reduce how much I play. Like I find myself with less time to play games, so I just trying to maximize my time in the games that I am playing. So I played a little bit of Avengers this week, a bunch of Destiny. I did try a little bit of Genshin Impact, and just like, I don't know, like, it's fun. I like the art style. It's very, very bright and vibrant. The fluidity is very good, but, like, the grind is very grindy, you know? And I don't know if it's just... I don't know if it's where I want to put a lot of my time.
You need to get to 16.
Yes,
I do need to... Well, you need to get to 20, because I found our Alfheim.
Okay.
There is a layered, floored dungeon.
Okay.
We need to try. I don't know anime talk.
Yeah, it's basically talk. like a tiered dungeon. So like the end game was like tiered dungeon. So you just have to keep like defeating floors as you go up.
I
so
you're gonna start talking about Asgardians or something.
No. They have something like that in Final Fantasy 15, right? Where there's like multiple floored dungeons. Is that
there might be? I never got
my husband played that game, and I remember walking in and saying something. He was like, "I'm at the end," and I was like, "I'm leaving." Okay, sorry.
So then, my kids are really starting to get into gaming now. So like, I'm trying to do other things besides like the things that you normally see on TV. So like, he's very into like Sonic and Mario and stuff like that, and he'll ask me to play a game, and I was like, "Let's try something different." So like, we've actually played Battletoads this week.
Yeah.
So I played like.
Nice.
Like 2 or 3 hours of Battletoads, and it's actually a really good game. Like I was not expecting it to be as good as it is, and it's good until you realize that like you have to play with a 5-year-old, and it's super frustrating to have him like, because there's three characters, and you can actually play all three. Like you can swap around. So like if your guy dies, you can swap to the other guy and revive yourself, basically. So he figured out how to do it. So, like, as I'm trying to, like, revive myself with the spare guy, he switched the spare guy because he was already dead. I'm like, you can't keep doing it. So, like, trying to, like spend one, like, an hour on, like, a level at a time. I was like, no, I gotta stop. I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to. It's like a very good rendition. It's a good like modern rendition of like the classic beat 'em up. So, like, that's what I, like, same thing with, like, Streets of Rage. Streets of Rage is very good also. So, like, those are my favorite games, like growing up, like the classic beat 'em up style. So it was really nice change of pace, like after playing so much loot games over the last however many years.
Yeah.
And then he randomly, like, I got home from work the other day, and he randomly was like, "Dad, let's play Fall Guys." I was like, "What?" I was like, "All right, let's go play Fall Guys for a little bit."
So we played, man.
He got in fourth place, his second time ever playing the game.
Nice.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Wow.
That's dope.
I was like, "This is crazy," but didn't do any better after that. I finished Gotham, so like that's off my plate now. I finished Korra this week.
Nice. I'm on the last season.
Did you like it?
I liked the end. I really did like the end. I just wish there was more. Like I wish like I don't necessarily want more Korra, like extend the series, you know, like go to the next Avatar, you know, like I'd be okay with that.
There's like comics and stuff that kinda and books. That.
Yeah, it's still the same series though. Like they haven't gone beyond like that. Like it'd be cool to see that, but that's just me.
Sure.
What do I watch next?
Yeah.
She-Ra.
I did see that someone actually made like a like stop motion animation of like Korra's death. It was actually really good. It was more just like about like it wasn't like showing her dying, but it was like the funeral and everything, and then the going back through her story. And I thought it was actually pretty cool.
That's cool.
I'll see if I can find that and share it with you guys.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Well, I'm going now.
My turn.
In a shocking turn of events, I've only logged into Destiny once since reset, which is, you know, wild because it's Thursday already. I'm working through one of my titles or seals, Chronicler, which I don't think I'm going to be able to finish because the game hates me. But I've been doing the Ascendant challenges and getting all the eggs, the Ahamkara eggs, and the bones. And that's been fine. You know, it's Destiny. And I've still been playing quite a bit of Among Us. I am just really enjoying that game. It's so fun to me. I play in public lobbies all the time now, and it's just silly and fun, and it uses different gaming muscles. So that's been fun.
It does.
And I have also been playing Genshin. I won't go as deep into it as Crow for two reasons. One, I haven't been playing it as much as Crow. And two, I am not a weeb. So I have no way to describe Genshin except for that. It's really pretty, it's cute, and the music is nice. And it's...
The music is amazing.
The music's great, yeah. And the combat's really fun, and like getting the different characters is really cool, and there's different, you know, combinations and powers and whatever. So I'm really enjoying it. I have no intention of spending money on this game. And that is an ideal gaming experience for me.
If you like anime and you liked Breath of the Wild, but you hated weapon degradation, this is the game for you.
If you don't like anime and you like open world games where you can like mix and match different game styles, this is the game for you. You don't have to know or can't really care about anime to enjoy this game, in my opinion. So I'm as happy with the waifus. Although I will say some of the men are who I think are waifus are men, and I get a little confused. That's just me.
Welcome to anime.
Venti is not a woman. Okay. Yeah.
Sometime, so, Rad, you and I, I'm gonna put together a test for you, Rad, and it's gonna be half of them are men and half of them are women for anime.
I will lose.
And we're gonna guess who's who.
That waifu.
I will. I'll be like, they're just all women. Okay. So, in terms of watching, same as last week and the week before, I've been watching a lot of sports. My Tampa Bay Lightning won the Stanley Cup on Monday. That was really exciting and very fun, and it's a big deal here in Tampa. The last time we won it was in 2004. A very small anecdote. My dad owns a video production company in the area that in Tampa Bay, and he has been working with local sports teams for a long time. And back in the day when they won the cup the first time, I was like 13, whatever, almost 14. I may have just turned 14. And my favorite player was Pavel Kubina. He was a defenseman, number 13. And my dad has a video of Pavel Kubina, like at the award, like the big hometown ceremony of him going, "Hey, Rachel, we won the cup, baby." So like winning the Stanley Cup is a big deal. It just like brings you back to all those memories. So that was really fun. And then my favorite sport is baseball, and my Tampa Bay Rays are going to the division series to play against the Yankees. So
nice. It's
a good time to be a Tampa Bay fan, I will say. I'm a Bills fan for football, but it's fun to have the hometown team have Brady and Gronkowski and Leonard Fournette and like all these big peeps. And it's fun. It's fun to be a sports fan right now in Tampa. So
there you go.
Go Dodgers. You know what? I'll root for the Dodgers, man. My grandmother liked the Dodgers when she, you know, when they were in New York. So if it's Dodgers Rays in the World Series, I'll root for the Rays. But if it's the Dodgers versus pretty much anyone else, I'll root for the Dodgers 100%.
Right on.
That's what I got going on here. Yeah. Sweet. What about you, Neil? What you got?
So I have officially dubbed this month.
Time's up.
Star Wars month.
See you guys on the next one.
It is Star Wars month, guys.
It is.
You got Squadrons, you got The Mandalorian. It's just, you know, I can't wait. And Fake asked the question in the chat, who's ready for the end of the month? I mean, yeah, this guy is ready for the end of the month. I cannot wait. I've been so hyped with Star Wars that like my nerddom usually overflows to like my kids and my wife. So I've been using TikTok as an outlet for that because it's nice because I can make like 1 minute videos. And just talk about Star Wars lore. And it's actually been doing really well on TikTok. I was like, wow. Like,
look at this guy. Look at me on TikTok.
Look at this. I know Star Wars.
Old man on TikTok.
Right.
I feel like the boomer now.
Yeah.
What is this TikTok thing?
Hey, what's this dang thing?
Piss me off.
That's literally me. I've never owned or used TikTok in my life.
Really fun. It is really fun. But I've been playing actually a lot of kind of rotating off Rogue Company and Warzone a lot,
a lot more.
I've been having a lot of fun with it. A little bit of Avengers thrown in there as well. You know, and I was talking to Prime about this the other night in party chat. Like, I'm kind of sad that it didn't catch on with more people because it is, once you get past some of the bugs and some of the repetitiveness of the levels, it is a really fun game at its core. And the loot drops well enough to you don't feel like you're just in this horrible grind, you know. But it's been fun. And today, and I want to say thank you to Jay, the community manager for Star Wars and EA, through the EA Game Changer program. They gave me a code for Squadrons, and I've been getting to play it a day early, and I've been playing it today. And I gotta say, you've heard me on the previous podcast. I was a little, not so sure, you know. And I started playing it, and I'm not a first-person flight sim kind of guy, but I've been loving it. And the cinematics in that game for a $40 game are beautiful. For a $40 game, I'm getting like a AAA quality $60, $70 game that has these beautiful cinematics. And I'm loving it, man. I'm actually really enjoying it. Which actually I was a little down on it. So Take that for what it is.
Is that going to be this Sunday's Star Wars Sunday game?
It shall. Yeah, we got Jedi Master Rose already said he's got the game downloaded. He's ready to go. I know Prime might be there. And IP, who changes his name like 50 times in our Discord. I don't even know what it is now. But
better than IP freely.
That is what his name in Discord is right now. I change my name a lot or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
It's like, yeah. So I'm pretty excited. And I gotta say, I've been watching because I've been sick the last week, like off and on with crap like allergies and then stomach stuff. I've been watching a lot of sports again. It's good to see my Hawks doing well, beating the Cowboys especially. But I've been watching the Michael Jordan series on Netflix, where it talks about his championship run. It's really good. It's really, really good. I'm a huge Michael Jordan fan. I was when I was a kid. And it's just nostalgia, dude. And just they go through everything. And then I actually last night with the wifey, because Wednesday night's like our family time, just her and me. We watched Enola Holmes. And
was it good?
Really liked it. It was really good.
Nice.
The pacing was fantastic. It was like slow in the parts that need to be slow. And it was that quick, witty British speaking and like wit that you needed. And it just, it was like a 2-hour movie. And I felt like it was like 45 minutes because it was just so well paced, so well written. The acting was great. It's got Henry in there. And I love him, you know. Who doesn't love the Witcher and Superman comboed with Sherlock Holmes?
Ooh.
But it's good. I really enjoyed it.
Rachel.
So
someone got chills.
We got a few things to talk about before we jump into the meat and potatoes. And one of them was like the cyberpunk, the WoW stuff. Like Lupo had some stuff. What's on your mind, Lupo, with this stuff?
Well, I just thought it was interesting to see, you know, just like living in the time of COVID, you know, it's made us all think differently about how developers are approaching game development, you know, and even the best studios, like, or I'll say it with quotations, the best studios are being affected, you know, like people want to give CD Projekt Red every ounce of credit, and I don't want to discredit them for anything because they, you know, they make very, very good games. They support their community very, very well. But an issue we're having now is like they're back talking a lot of the things that they originally said. You know, they weren't going to do. Oh my god! Now I'm stuck on what I was just thinking.
Cyberpunk.
Yeah. No. Yes. So they didn't want to do a crunch, and like now it seems like we're getting into that nitty gritty time where we're a few weeks away from release, and you know now they're working 6 days a week, and I'm sure late nights, weekends, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like no one's impervious to these situations, you know. So like they're one, you know, WoW and Blizzard is one of the most prolific studios of all time. And have been one of the most successful over the last 20 years, you know, and they're dealing with setbacks now for their next expansion, Shadowlands. So they're gonna be pushing back their launch. They were supposed to be on October 27th, you know. Like I don't really follow it much. I'm just being observant of like things going on in the industry in general, you know, and it's every game's being pushed back. There, people are going through extenuating circumstances to make games happen, and I think a lot of people are taking for granted what developers put into these games.
Yeah, I was going to say I've noticed that this is probably one of the few times I've ever seen gamers okay with pushbacks. Like I have not seen anybody, at least that I've seen on our Twitter feed, say like, this is horrible that you're pushing this game back. You promised this and you're pushing it back. And like what, Cyberpunk's had two pushbacks? I think two, right?
Was it you, Lupo, who I saw respond and say they should push it back? Maybe it was Gathalion. I don't know. Somebody I saw on Twitter was like, just push it back. We got enough going on in November. Nobody's going to care.
I saw a few people tweet something like that too.
Yeah, and it's like, you know what? Like, I'm hyped for Cyberpunk, but I'm thinking to myself, like I have Beyond Light, and I know the type of gamer that I am. I'm going to sink myself into Beyond Light. I'm going to miss Cyberpunk. Like, I just know what's going to happen. So, like, I'm kind of like, finish it?
Are you going to finish it? I saw your tweet about not finishing games. Wait, did you finish Ghost?
Yeah, I finished Ghost.
Okay. Okay.
I feel really bad about that too, because I, you know, for reasons. But you know, I would like to finish it. But I just, you know, there's just so much happening in November. Yeah. Like, just push it back. I mean, and I think the optics of it too. Like, if you push it back, you're also not coming out with two consoles. You know, an established game like Destiny that has a huge DLC coming out. You're not coming out essentially with an Assassin's Creed game, which I think Cyberpunk will be better than Assassin's Creed, but you're not coming out with an established series like Assassin's Creed. And I don't know. It's just my opinion. I think push it back. Man, just do it. Who cares?
Here's the caveat, though.
Let's hear it.
CD Projekt Red has been touted as the game developer that makes the perfect game.
Mm-hmm.
I won't go into details about how buggy Witcher 3 was at launch, because there's no excuse that can be made about how the game launched, but it's well regarded as one of the best stories in a game of all time. I think there's a little bit of pressure there to maintain that, you know, allure at this point.
Sure.
That if they release anything less than 150%, some people are not going to be happy. And they can't even shoot for 100 now.
No, they can't. It reminds me a little bit. I know we talked about this last time. We don't have to go into it, but it reminds me a little bit of Andromeda. Like, Andromeda could not have won unless it was 100% because of like how good the trilogy was, regardless of the ending. Like, how good the trilogy was, Andromeda was always going to fail if it wasn't 100%. And because of how good Witcher ended up being, it, like you just said, if Cyberpunk's not 150%, it's gonna get
ripped,
crapped on, for better words. Oh, I was sure. gonna say. So that's why I'm saying, like, just push it back. If you have your people working six days a week, however long that is, and you're not sure about it, CD Projekt Red, just push it back, man. We'll be okay. I know that Nate, in the chat is saying, like, well, if it was the first pushback, it would be received better. I have to tell you, man, I think people would be like, well, thank God. Now I don't. That's one less thing in November I have to worry about. Yeah. You know what I mean?
So. You also have Valhalla, like, you know, Assassin's Creed. Like, there's a lot. There's so many games coming out at the end of, like, well, I should say at the start of fall. But, like, there's just so many games. They're all packed in together. Like, gamers are going to be forced to choose between games. So, like, it's almost like a smart move that Destiny is putting all their stuff on Game Pass. Because people are going to play it. They're going to go in. They're going to spend money. All of that, you know. But it's like, what do you spend your money on? Do you do Cyberpunk? Do you do Assassin's Creed? Do you do Destiny? Do you do Squadrons? Like, what do you do?
Well, like I said, I think those like established titles, even though I think Cyberpunk's going to be a better game, it's going to be better than Beyond Light. I mean, it's good. Beyond Light, you can't really compare the two, but like, it's going to be better than Assassin's Creed. But Assassin's Creed is Assassin's Creed. You're going to get people buying Assassin's Creed because it's Assassin's Creed. I don't know. I love Far Cry. I say put Cyberpunk in spring with Far Cry, and you will do much better than putting it up against Assassin's Creed. I'll buy both of them. I'll buy Far Cry. It's a day one purchase for me.
That's going to be a rough one.
But I don't think I don't think more people buy in to Far Cry as they do Assassin's Creed.
Yeah. So much stuff. And when does Spider-Man, the new Spider-Man, come out? I haven't even looked.
Isn't it drop with PS5?
Yeah, day one.
So that's
also November.
Dang. It's like, and let's touch on this little, let's poke the bear a little bit here. How about
not to do this.
How about that remastered Peter Parker? I mean, he looks like a TikTok superstar over there.
Yeah. As a 30-year-old woman, I'm upset. I'm like, man, at least like a mid-20s Pete, I could like, okay, like fine. I can admit that mid-20s Pete's a handsome. This guy looks like he's 14, and now I'm having, you know, I'm like, well, I can't look at you, Pete. You know what I mean? It's like,
he went from, you know, post-high school and college now to junior high, and like, no,
I hate it. I will never buy the remaster. I wasn't going to do it anyway, but I will never buy the remastered version for that alone. You done messed up, Sony.
Yeah.
You done messed up.
One job.
Not you had one job.
You know it's a great part? You can't buy it anyway, so.
Oh, but yeah, I know. I wasn't going to get Miles Morales, actually, so.
I really want it, but.
As someone who never played Spider-Man, I think the new character model looks much better.
He looks clean.
I don't care how old he's got to be.
Smoother surfaces. Yes. That's the only reason why people say he looks better. But I think that makes him actually look dumb.
It's a glorious baby face.
He's supposed to be like a more seasoned Spider-Man.
He's supposed to be gritty.
He's not young Tom Holland Spider-Man, you know? He's
younger than Tom Holland Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Well, you're wrong, Lupo.
I mean, I'm not saying he doesn't look better aesthetically.
It looks fine, but if it was, but compared to the original one, it's not right.
The character model is so off. It's just so off, you know.
And no offense to the actor, who they're like, the actor's a good looking guy. It's just that it's like obviously different. It's like a completely different character. Yeah.
I mean, I'm a huge Spider-Man fan, so I really want to get Miles Morales. And the thing is, I'm just going to end up playing it and getting it on my PS4 anyways. So it doesn't matter to me. I haven't even finished all the DLC. I did only the first DLC. So it's like, you know, I don't know. It's frustrating. It's frustrating.
I did finish that game.
It was surprising to see. And I wasn't like, not feeling it either.
Yeah.
It's garbage.
I am glad you finished that game. I think you're taking the new mantle as the person who does not finish games here, Radical.
I have to say, Ghost is one of the only games like that I haven't finished in a long time. The other ones were like The Witcher, like the first Witcher. I was like, I could go back to that at any time. And then, I don't know, something else recently. But I have finished a lot of games. Don't pin that title on me. Okay. I don't know who had that title. I'm going back to somebody else.
Guys, this is the hot news everyone's talking about. We kind of gotta get into here, and that's, you know, you guys touched on it a little bit about Xbox and their acquisition of all the gaming studios. And I'll say a little bit of something now. I want to hear you guys' thoughts, but it really, really irritates me listening to all these other podcasts, looking at all these other official gaming media websites. This is why you should go to mehorngaming.com, by the way. And seeing that, like, hey, when you have exclusives for Switch, it's okay. When you have exclusives for PS4, it's okay. But when Xbox buys something and they might have an exclusive, that's the dumbest move ever, guys. That's just, what's Xbox doing? Oh my goodness. And it just irritates the hell out of me, man.
But yeah, Twitter and the internet was definitely a different character the past few days.
Yeah.
Or past few weeks. Yeah. Or past week. It wasn't received as expected. I mean, obviously Xbox base was thriving, but it was the people that have, you know, their mindsets on both sides, the market, the gaming for gamers, less console war. Those guys are like, hey, this is a smart move. It's a win for everyone because the competition just got that much greater. And especially for the gamers in general. I mean, good move. But man, Twitter and social media just took a big dirt. I'm like, come on. Anyway, I feel you. I feel you, Mule. I feel you.
It's just upsetting, man, because it's like, You don't spend $7 billion they spent for games not to try to be exclusive. I'm pretty sure that there's going to be some exclusivity. Now, I know some of the stuff that's already out there it's not going to be exclusive, like Elder Scrolls and things like that. But the new Elder Scrolls could certainly just be PC and Xbox, like for sure. There's no reason they shouldn't do that, because what that's going to do is make people buy PCs, that's going to make people buy Xboxes. And the thing that, I'm going on a rant here, but another thing that really irritates me is when I say, oh man, this is a great move, you know, it's going to sell consoles, and people are like, I don't need to buy an Xbox Series X because I got a PC. I'm like, whoop-de-freaking-do, you're already in their economy, so, oh, guess what? Gotcha! Xbox already gotcha. Like, it's just like, man, like, okay, it's great you have a PC, but you realize having a PC means you're in their ecosystem, which was their goal all along. That was their goal.
For sure.
So even though you're trying to put a dig on Xbox, it doesn't work for you, pal. Like, you're still buying their products, even if you don't buy the console. I don't know. That was my rant. End.
We talked about it last week a little bit. This actually exact thing that I don't think that existing IPs are going to be fully exclusive or even like just Xbox and PC, because honestly Xbox would be stupid to do that because they're gonna make more money like being on PlayStation still. But I do believe that like new IPs like Starfield will be exclusive, you know. But to go back to what I originally said, they're going to make so much money because of the fact of they want people to buy the subscriptions. That's their focus, is the subscriptions. Yeah. So when you have a game like, you know, Elder Scrolls 6 is now included with your Game Pass, or you can go buy PlayStation 5 and buy the game, you know. So are you going to play this game that you want to play already included with your subscription, or do you want to go buy a console and the full game for just that one game, you know? So like that's the payoff.
I think too that there's a business like achievement to be, no pun intended, to be had by like you brought up Elder Scrolls. I don't think Elder Scrolls is going to be exclusive to only Xbox. I think Xbox would be smart to try and broker a deal with PlayStation. You guys want part of the IP that we just bought? Yeah, tell me what your price is. I do think Starfield will be exclusive because it doesn't exist yet, you know?
Yeah.
But I think
for brand new IP.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, like Phil Spencer said, it's going to be case by case. So Elder Scrolls may be one of those where they're looking at, hey, this is a possible option. We could benefit from sharing this IP.
Right. But
the other ones, probably not so much on the table.
Right. And I think the and Fallout, like those are the two that come to mind that I think Xbox would be smart to say, let's broker a deal.
Yeah.
And maybe Doom, right? But like smaller, already established IPs like Dishonored, you know, some of the other ones, like that's Bethesda, right? I'm not. Yeah. So that's like I don't think that one, they could probably get away with that one being exclusive because that's less known. But like some of those bigger ones that are already established, I think that's where Xbox is going to just continue to grow and be the Xbox. Microsoft's going to be the master class, right? Like they are going to, they're going to do it all because they have all the bread in their basket now, at least with Bethesda. So that's going to be the new bread.
Mm.
All the chips in their salsa, whatever the idiom is, I don't know.
Crow, so. You stewing over there? What do you got to say?
You're thinking about Genshin.
Is it a boy?
Open a can of crow. Here we go.
Open a can of crow. Here we go, baby.
Coin that phrase.
Yep, that was good.
I'm biased because I'm an Xbox guy. I'm an Xbox and PC guy. I'm also a Bethesda guy. This is just like my dream come true right here with this acquisition. Because this means that guaranteed any Bethesda stuff that I find interesting going forward is going to be on Xbox. It would have to be something like absurdly crazy for them to not put it on the Xbox. This is going to help with exclusive stuff, obviously. I don't know what, there's not a whole lot that I can cover that we haven't already covered. It's just going to be my opinion, and being as biased as I am, I don't like PlayStation. I had a PS4 for maybe 6 months, and then it sat in my closet on a shelf for about a year and a half. Yeah. And the whole reason I got it, I think, was to play like one of the Destiny betas. No, it wasn't even that. I was to play Horizon Zero Dawn. I played Horizon Zero Dawn, played the whole thing.
You know what it was for.
I played through that, and then I played the D2 beta, when it launched early on PlayStation. And that was the last time I touched my PS4. Now, granted, there's been a lot of good stuff, and I've watched a lot of good stuff. If I want to see anything that's exclusive, I'll just go watch it. I know some guys that always play the exclusives, so I can just go watch their streams. But with this, I'm liking it. There's been other things that I'm not so happy about, but for right now, I'm content.
You're a happy camper, huh?
I'm a happy camper, man.
You're a happy camper.
So, Robbie brought up a good question in chat. She said, can someone explain why do they have exclusives for certain platforms anyways? I mean, after a while, they release it to others anyways. Sorry if this is a dumb question. Well, it's not a dumb question. But I think the whole reason for that is just to push sales, push hardware.
Or push whatever they're planning to push. That's for Xbox, has right. a different prerogative.
Right.
This exclusive fits into that mold.
Yeah, so it's so like we've talked about a lot in the past about other things, like where certain hardware platform or whatever will have you know, marketing exclusivity where they get to have all the major ads and like the premium slots and stuff like that. And even a multi-platform game like will have timed exclusivity. You know, just for the sake of, like you said, it's mostly for hardware sales or loyalty or something like that. But like true exclusives, like they will never come to other platforms. Like you won't see Mario games on Xbox. You won't see Crash. Actually, you do see Crash Bandicoot.
You actually do. it's just years later.
You won't see Bloodborne on another platform, you know, like there are Miles Morales on another platform. You know, there's other games that are like hard coded into their DNA as a platform. Like you won't see God of War on another platform. You won't see Last of Us on.
She could refer to how Horizon Zero Dawn's going to PC, but that's more of an exception than anything.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah, and also like in the PS5 trailer, it was like coming to PS5 and then PC, and you know, for like Demon's Souls, I think was like that, and then they like revoked it, but I still think it's going to be happening.
Demon's Souls, they doubled back on.
Yeah. So I think, you know, Lupa had a great answer. Like my take is just that it's just how things were done, and we're moving into a new way of how things are done, and because, you know, like the gap is being bridged between how things were done and how things are done, there's still going to be exclusives. And that's why Xbox bought Bethesda, because they know that that's still like a driving force in game sales. And because PlayStation and Sony make really good games. So like, you know, even though they have this really phenomenal draw, which is their subscription services that people are literally like salivating at the mouth for, and rightly so. It's like PlayStation still, and Sony, like I said, they still make great games. Like I'm similar to Crow. Like I'm an Xbox, mostly PC gal, but like, but that's Microsoft, right? Like they have me, but I said to myself, I have a PlayStation and I would buy a new PlayStation to play those great games because they're great stories. I might never finish them, but they're great stories. So you know, like it's still how they get sales. It's just, it's on its way out kind of. So it's a good question. Yeah. It's not a dumb question.
So I'm going to give you, sorry, Crow, go ahead.
I was going to say kind of like how I see it, like an analogy of how I see it is like Microsoft is Krispy Kreme. PlayStation is Dunkin' Donuts. They both want to sell their donuts, but they don't want to sell them at each other's stores.
Yep.
Right.
Now, they might both sell them at the grocery store, but they're not going to sell them at the store. So PC might be the grocery store where you get the mixture, but like it's business. At the end of the day, it's business.
Gotta open yourself a can of Crow with a answer like that.
Yeah. Crow's just doing anything in his power to make me more hungry.
Let's talk.
That was good. Analogies. So that was a good analogy, Crow.
I'm gonna
try.
I'm gonna try to take y'all down like a walk down memory lane, and just from what I know from marketing and sales, what I think Xbox is doing here.
Tell us.
Consoles. You got the original Xbox, you got the original PlayStation that came out. So what was a way that they thought, marketing-wise, how can I get people to buy my console, Xbox, over PlayStation, and vice versa? So the way they started marketing that is say, let's bring out great games that are only on this console. Halo, Final Fantasy, God of War, whatever it would be for the other consoles, right? And so you kind of have them iterating, getting new consoles, and they're still kind of playing that. Let's keep pushing, you know, this hardware, this game right here to sell consoles. Like it's tied together, right? So Xbox kills it 360. They're just doing amazing. Their online multiplayer system that they built out with Xbox Live, in my opinion, is leaps and bounds better than the PS Plus online experience. Everything about it. Especially the download speed. The download speed for PlayStation is horrendous, right? When it comes to online experience.
I think it
takes forever. Yeah. PlayStation starts saying, okay, so they up their game even more and buy these exclusive IPs, and they're putting them out, and people are like, whoa, PlayStation, that's where I want to go play. I want to go play Spider-Man. I want to go play God of War 4. I want to go play Final Fantasy. I want to go over here. So Xbox is like, oh, crap. We were the king in the 360 days. Now we've kind of botched this. What are we going to do? And I think the marketing teams thought, hey, we already have an ecosystem built out with PC. Why don't we merge those? Because people want to play together. So it gives people an illusion that you're listening to the gamers while you're actually on the back end giving your business a way to make more money, and it feels like you're working for the gamer, but you're really just smart marketing, basically. And so you start driving like we should work together. Come on, Switch, let's work together. Okay, you can use our login to log in with your Switch. Okay, PC, you can play together. Okay, we got this cool thing called Game Pass. You can play on Xbox or you can play on PC because you can play together, right? So they started thinking, we're going to get you into this live service, subscription service game because we don't have a way to compete with PlayStation and their exclusives. Now that that's taking off and that it's just perfect marketing on the Xbox Microsoft side of things, because people are like, oh, you feel like they're for you, right? Because you can play your whatever you want to play on. You can play on your PC. You can play on your Xbox. And you say, you know, Gears of War 5, I can play there on my PC, and then I can go to my Xbox and finish it on my Xbox, you know? So you feel like they're for you, and they're kind of in your corner. And now that they've kind of surpassed Sony now, because Sony's like, oh, crap, how do we compete with this? Because Microsoft is making so much money off their live services. We've never built out our online experience to match something like that. What are we going to do? We're just going to keep buying really good IPs. And so Xbox, I feel like now their game plan is, all right, we got you in the ecosystem. We got you here. We got you where we want to. Now what we're going to do is go use all this extra money, and we're going to go buy all these IPs. We're going to go buy them. And here in about a year, after we get everyone in the ecosystem, we're going to start putting out exclusives. And so they're going back to that game. So they found a way to catch up to Sony, and then they're going to start putting out these exclusives so that everyone's going to move back to the primary console being Xbox. That's what I think. I think
it'll be a paradigm shift.
Yeah, I think the whole reason why they bought all of these exclusives is because here in about a year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years down the road, you're going to start seeing them push the exclusivity again like they used to. And they're going to do a little shift. They'll still have you in your ecosystem, but they're going to do a little shift. And you're going to see them start pushing that exclusive game again. That was it.
It's basically the long game.
Yeah, I mean, it really feels like it's the catch up marketing ploy, and then the long game to get you into that. So, what do you guys think? Do you think that's like a fair assumption, or what do you think?
Yeah, I think you kind of nailed it right there.
For sure.
I can't really disagree with anything you said at all.
It's like going back to my analogy, PlayStation's decides, oh, we're going to make these fancy organic donuts or something, and Xbox is over here like, hey, here's a subscription. As many donuts as you want. Pay this a month.
And I didn't even talk about donuts. Cloud games. Cloud games coming into that. You know, cloud.
Yeah. Too. Apparently, Bethesda has some cloud gaming software of themselves. I totally forget the name. But the podcast I was listening to today said they're almost 100% sure that they have a super low latency software built into that, what they had. And if that's true, that's going to go right into xCloud gaming.
Combine that with the former Mixer stuff.
True, true. So there's
combining that all together.
Acquisition was just a solid move. Solid.
Yeah. So, guys, I have one more question before we wrap up here for y'all.
All right.
Exclusives with Xbox. What would you want to see exclusive, or would you just rather them not be exclusive at all?
Starfield. I think Starfield would be great exclusive because it's like the first... Well, we don't know if it's going to be good, but I hope it's going to be good. But it's going to be like the first not already in existence Bethesda game to be owned by Xbox. So I think that by releasing it for Xbox only is like really establishing, like, we're not messing around. This is it. We are Bethesda. Bethesda is us, you know, things like that. So I see Shaky writing Halo. Like, Halo was already exclusive. I'm not picking Halo. But, but like, for games that didn't have to be exclusive, my hopes and dreams is one day BioWare will get their head out of whatever crevice it's in and will make a follow-up to Andromeda. And with this EA situation happening, I think Mass Effect has a potential to be exclusive in the future because of the relationship Xbox has with EA. So I know it's different than BioWare. BioWare is, you know, not EA. But I just think, you know, Microsoft is really trying to make these moves and they already have a relationship. So
Mass Effect 1 was exclusive.
It was to Xbox, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now that's another one that, like, you know, that's such a, people will buy Mass Effect regardless of almost anything. The world could be burning and I'd be like, here is my $60 for Mass Effect. But you know, so I don't know, but I think Starfield, would be a really good one in the near future. It seems like it's getting ready for some sort of announcement, maybe at the Game Awards, to have exclusive to Xbox.
Right on.
I'm going to go out on a limb.
Really?
And, well, sort of, but a little bit different than just not just a single title, but I would like them to make any Sega products a exclusive.
Ooh. Wait, weren't we talking about, was Sega one of the devs that PlayStation was going to buy?
No, anybody but Sega, it'd be Xbox.
It'd be Xbox. Yeah. Okay, I'm confused.
I mean,
they have a relationship.
Sega is Phantasy Star, so they've been doing that deal for the past year and a half. But I mean, there's a lot of other Sega titles that haven't had new games in quite a while.
I'd like to see some more. That's a good answer, I think.
Yeah, for sure. That's legit. That would be awesome.
Yeah, and I mean, from the way they've been working with Sega with the Phantasy Star stuff, I wouldn't be surprised, honestly. This PSO2 could just been like they're dipping their toe in, seeing how well it does, and who knows what we'll see next.
Yeah,
and both of them sound great because both of them have the relationship already established.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them would be huge purchases that would go great in an ecosystem because of past games.
But Sega doesn't have a console anymore, so they have to put their stuff somewhere.
They have to have a home, right? Exactly.
Those are great ideas. I love it. And as Mule says, bring back some oldies. Advent Rising.
I need to know. It's supposed to be a 3-part game. It's only one.
I don't even know what that is.
Oh, you missed out.
It's Mule's Mule's unicorn, basically.
Okay.
It's my unicorn. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Personally, like, if Xbox makes some sort of other exclusive, I want it to be just completely brand new. I want brand new IP.
Isn't that Starfield?
I mean, something that we don't know about right now.
Okay.
Because nothing looks like overly interesting to me where I would do anything I had in my power to buy a Series X. Like,
sure.
When I saw Destiny, I dropped everything that I was doing to go out and buy an Xbox One to go play Destiny. Like, obviously, yeah. I wasn't going to buy a PS4 because none of my friends played PS4, but I went out like that moment to go buy an Xbox One to get Destiny 2, to get Destiny 1. I want to have that feeling again where like something looks so great that it influences me to do the next thing, to really ride into the next generation. As much as I love everything, there's a lot of things I'm really enjoying right now, and like sure. I like what I see, but nothing is just like, holy shit, this is the only game I ever want to play.
I thought that was going to be Horizon Forbidden West, and then everyone ruined my thunder and told me it was available on PS4. I was ready. I was like, I'll buy a bundle. And you guys were like, no. But yeah, no, I feel you. I want that too.
Yeah.
For sure.
Prime, do you have anything to add?
No.
No.
I think so.
But that's a good question.
Just a quick question. Public. Quick question, Lupo. If this brand new IP, would you want it? Are you thinking like brand new studio or just like a Microsoft or one of their existing studios?
It doesn't matter. I just want the game.
You just want something brand new, completely unique.
I don't care who makes it.
Okay. You're not thinking like someone in the back of your mind, like, this.
No,
this
like, honestly,
no, I'm saying like, that's his question. Like, is there a studio you want to see a game from?
No, like, I'm not partial to any one particular studio at this point. Like, I love BioWare games. I think some of the things we're seeing from, like, from People Can Fly is really good. Like, you know, maybe, like, maybe if the Gears people did a new IP would be nice. Because I think, like, I think they're so, like, lost with the Gears franchise a little bit that they need to just do something different, you know? So if that would be a possibility, like, because I think like Gears has like the grittiness that I kind of want in a game, which is why I'm really looking forward to Outriders, and it could Outriders be that? Sure, but
maybe
we're talking about exclusives here.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I think I think Elder Scrolls, the new Elder Scrolls that comes out, is going to be single player. It's probably going to be exclusive. Which would be a big push.
That's going to be big one because they have
done it. I think it will. I think the other stuff that's already out there will, but I think it might be a big power play if they do that, because there is a huge fan base for Elder Scrolls.
That's a bad move.
So
that's a bad move for Microsoft, actually.
Yeah.
The company that makes, for example, the company that makes ESO, which is the MMO for Elder Scrolls series, they have come out and said they are not going to be changing anything about, they're not going to be doing any exclusive stuff for theirs. So that series, and how big Skyrim is, like, you can play Skyrim on your smart fridge.
Yeah,
they're not going to make it exclusive to the Xbox.
I would be shocked.
When I say exclusive, I mean PC, Xbox, cloud gaming.
They're not going to do that.
You know,
I would be shocked if in their contract that they did, whatever contract they created to buy it, I am sure that they were like, here are the IPs that we will not be that will not be exclusive to you. Here are the ones, you can do whatever you want with. All I'm saying is that, like I said before, Microsoft has a business play by saying, my PlayStation, you guys want this? Let's play some ball.
Yeah.
And PlayStation will play because it's Elder Scrolls.
Yeah.
That would be, if that happens, Mule, I will drive to wherever you live and I will buy you the most expensive pair of Crocs on the planet. But there's
some freaking bedazzled Crocs.
Yeah, that say like Crocs on them with like
Crocs.
Yeah.
This is my just throwing it out there to see if it sticks. I know it's probably, it would never happen because it's out on all the other platforms. What if Titanfall 3 was exclusive?
That wouldn't shock me as much.
Yeah.
No, it won't be now because Titanfall as a franchise wouldn't be what it is right now if it did, if it never went to PlayStation.
Yeah, maybe. Really? Maybe.
Titanfall wouldn't be where it is without Apex.
That's fair.
No, that's not. No, that's,
no, I'd say Apex. It'd be opposite. I'd say Apex isn't where it is.
Apex wouldn't be where it was without it. Yeah. Titanfall 2 established itself as one of the best single player campaigns, even though I felt it was kind of blah. Of the last generation, and that's mostly because people like where the mass majority of players were on PlayStation 4, and once they brought it to PlayStation 4, Titanfall had more eyes.
Yeah. The reason I say that though is because the kind of like resurgence of Titanfall 2 that I've seen with all of the ties into that universe that Apex has.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they're technically the same universe.
It's probably more of a copacetic relationship than it is one over the other. They're probably both feeding each other. But yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I don't know. I just feel like they're going to pull something out where they're either going to announce some new studio or something that we haven't heard of yet, or maybe they're going to say, we acquired this one, it's going to be exclusive. I feel like they're going to drop that bomb before the end of the year. So we shall see.
Yeah. I think the
Game Awards, that's the big thing left.
I mean, that was probably the bomb, but you know, you have a little follow-up, I think, that's going to come.
All right.
It's like the after show.
You might say it's the fallout.
There you go.
Crow, that was a good one.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, I think that about wraps up our time for the podcast this week. We appreciate all you guys who are listening to the audio version or if you're watching us on YouTube. We appreciate you guys. Remember, you can watch us live every Thursday night. And if you like the podcast, visit MuleHornGaming.com. About page, find some more great content creators there. And if you're looking for some Mule swag, check out our store tab on the website as well. And if you would, guys, like us on Facebook, leave us a review on iTunes, and you can follow us all on Twitter. Remember, guys, when in doubt, blow it up! Blow it up!